Well, hey guys, welcome to my weekly Q&A session. I am on vacation at the moment in France. Today I'm in the city of Lyon. I about 30 years ago moved to the city of Lyon, 32 years ago. Lived in Lyon for many, many years. Love the city. And many friends here know it like the back of my hand. So I'm spending the day here doing some videos, doing some shopping, and I'm doing some teaching on passion and motivation for God. So I want to answer five questions on that subject in a moment. Hey, let me say that if you are new to my ministry, it's great to have you here with me. My name is Graham. I am a Brit who lived in France for 20 years and now live in the United States. I'm a British and American citizen. Lead a group of churches in New England. Love Jesus. Lots of things I can tell you about myself, but why not check out my website, gjm.org. That's a great way of finding out about who I am and some of the things I am involved in. Boom. As usual, a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry. I have a greatest Holy Ghost bunch in the world of partners, people who pray, support us financially, invite us. We stay with them, lots of different things. Why not find out about becoming a partner with our ministry? I know it will bless you. Details below. Many, many things going on in my ministry and churches, but why not sign up for our email newsletter? That's probably the best way of keeping in touch with me. There will be a link below where you can do that. Boom. So, five questions all about passion and motivation, if I can find them. And question number one, what should I do when I lack spiritual passion? Again, that's a good question. I'd actually like to answer it in a different way. I think all of us at times are going to probably feel, at least in our emotions, like we lack spiritual passion. So I want to say, if you're watching this today and you just feel like, blech, we'd say in France, you feel no life, no motivation, no passion for the things of God, or maybe even the things of life, I want to say it's not so strange. We're all going to be there at times. And the key in life is learning to avoid those times to a large degree. And then the second key is learning to reframe, to get out of those places quite quickly and not stay there and let that become an ongoing cycle. You know, it's possible to have somebody once said to me, Graham, do you ever get depressed? And I'm like, yeah, all the time. I get depressed all the time for about 30 seconds. And then I try to recalibrate, to reframe, to step into another place. I put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, anoint myself with the oil of joy for mourning. So if I'm just feeling like, I don't feel anything, there are things I can do, both physically, emotionally, even spiritually or circumstantially, that can change and bring me to another place. So if you are feeling like you're just lacking any of that passion, that again, don't feel guilty about it. That's not going to help you. Don't condemn yourself. That's not going to help you. And don't be surprised when you get yourself into those places. So here's a few quick things I would do. And this may not sound really spiritual, but I would say there are some natural things you could do as well. Eat well, sleep well, rest well, drink a lot of water, eat healthy foods, don't drink alcohol, at least too much. Don't drink things that, you know, there are physical things, if you do, you will end up in a bad place. When Elijah was depressed and miserable and he's like, God, I just want to give up, God brought him to a place, the Brook Kidron, where he could rest, he could eat, he could drink, and be in a stress-free situation. You say, Graham, that's not that spiritual. I think rest, sleep, food is a really spiritual thing, actually. So I would say sometimes our soul is suffering because our body or our mind are not in a good place. So that would be my first answer. The second thing I would say is this. I would commit for a season, like a commit for 5 or 10 minutes a day, every day, to worship God and take a few verses from His Word and read them. Here's a great thing I would encourage anybody to do who's lacking spiritual passion. I would encourage you to read the book of Psalms and read them out loud, because David carries the heart of God. And although the whole Bible is the whole Word of God, if you are down and depressed and lacking motivation and passion spiritually, probably reading the book of Leviticus isn't the most needful thing right now. Yeah? Probably reading the book of Ecclesiastes isn't the most needful thing right now. If you're feeling down and just empty spiritually, read the book of Psalms, read it out loud. Because David often in the Psalms starts in this place like, soul, why are you downcast? You know, why do the heathen prosper, all these things? But he teaches his soul how to worship the Lord by using his willpower, as I mentioned in an earlier video this week. So I would choose to engage yourself in the things of God. Begin spoon feeding yourself the things of God, and you'll begin enjoying them and feeling like more for them. Go back and watch the videos I've done all week long. It will help you break out of that cycle of lack of passion and motivation. Boom. Question number two, I'll be quick with this one. Is it a sin to lack passion for God? I'll answer this one really quickly. No, it's not a sin. And I think at times all of us are going to lack passion and motivation by God. But let me say this. It's not a sin to lack passion and motivation for God, but it will often lead you into sin. And if you're in that place of spiritual emptiness, spiritual listlessness, it's not a sin, but if you don't change it, it will often lead you into sin. It was when David wasn't feeling passionate about the call of God, about the temple, the ark, about the mission of God, the enemies of God, defeating them, that he committed adultery, murder, and brought judgment on a nation. So watch out. And when you are in that place where we all may get there at times when you're not feeling any motivation spiritually, watch out. That's not a good place to take decisions in. You know, it's not a good place when you're feeling down and to take important spiritual decisions in. Take those decisions when you're on fire spiritually, where you are, where you know you should be. That's a good place to do that. Boom. Question number three. Why do I find it hard to maintain my passion for God? Well, I think, again, this is something most of us have lived with. I have. And I've come to the conclusion that what I and many of us have done is at times we go to a conference, we spend the whole day at church, and we surround ourselves with the things of God, and we come out high as a kite. We come out thinking, I've broken through to a new place in the heavenlies in Jesus Christ. And at some level, we begin to think, I'm going to stay in this place. I'm going to maintain this walk of passion for God. And then what we do is we begin to not surround ourselves with the things of God. Instead, we begin to surround ourselves with the things of the world, the things that don't provoke us spiritually into passion for God. And after a while, our spiritual temperature begins to drop, and we don't notice for a while. And then suddenly we find, oh, I've lost that momentum, that passion, that motivation for the things of God. It's interesting. I've been driving a car today that my wife rented, and it's a really small car with a really small engine. And where my home is in France, my home is in Haute Loire, which means high Loire. It's like in a high mountainous area. It's not exactly mountains. It's just in an elevated plain in France. And to get to that place, you often go through some valleys and some real big hills. And there's a couple of places I've driven through today where you go down a really long hill. Maybe imagine like you're on a highway, but you go down a hill for about 2 miles. And then the next 2 miles, you go up a hill. And as I go down that hill, I've learned to sort of accelerate. I want to be safe, but I'll accelerate as much as I can because it will give me enough momentum to take me halfway up that hill. But if I don't do that, I know this engine in this tiny car I have will get to the place where I'm in this slow lane crawling along trying to get me up the hill. And what I'm saying is the way to build an ongoing life where we can sustain passion and momentum is by planning, by thinking about it, by eating well spiritually, by surrounding ourselves with the things that keep us strong spiritually. When you're driving a car at 80 miles an hour, and it's quite easy to keep yourself at 80 miles. It doesn't take a lot of gasoline to keep yourself there. But if you're driving at 80 and you just take your foot off the gas, you'll keep rolling for quite a while. But all the time, you're losing momentum. And it's interesting, you don't lose momentum in a kind of linear way. You lose it and lose it and lose it and zoom. You begin to drop down to zero. So get yourself to a high place spiritually, number one, and then learn to keep enough gas on your spiritual pedal to help you maintain that spiritual walk, and then just add a little bit more and you can stay in a high place spiritually. Boom. Question number four, how can I become passionate about reading the Bible? Well, I've actually covered some of this in my series this week, but let me give you three quick keys. Number one, confess by faith that you are passionate about reading the Bible. Now, you say that's corny. It works, really. If you'll begin, if every day for a month you'll stand before God and say, Father, I thank you for your word. I love reading your word. It's my greatest delight. Literally read the verses in Psalm 119. Every verse, longest chapter in the Bible, is about how amazing the word of God is. And if you'll begin every day saying, Lord, I love your word. I'm passionate about your word. I'm excited about the word of God. If you'll keep doing that, you'll begin feeling the emotions commensurate with that. Second thing I would do is I would actually, as I'm reading the Bible every day, I don't beat myself up if I have a day where today I have not yet read the Bible. I got up at 4:30 today. I've been driving, moving around. I'm going to try to find time to do that later. But if it doesn't happen today, that's okay. I don't beat myself up, but I'll make sure I spend some time in the Word tomorrow, especially if it doesn't happen today. And here's the thing I do when I read my Bible is I try and have a balanced diet, a balanced portfolio. What I mean is, as I'm reading at times through some more difficult passages, some of the prophetic passages with judgment or, you know, Leviticus or whatever, I'm reading through that. I'm also reading through things like the Psalms, things like Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, that really I find easier to delight in than others. You know, I will often eat a salad. I try to have a salad every day. And I will have a salad with lots of, you know, lettuce and cucumber and tomatoes and scallions and different things. But I'll also put things in like strawberries or slices of apple or things like that. I put enough in so I actually enjoy eating it. And when I finish that salad, I go, I really enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward to the next one. If you don't look forward to it, you won't do it. So if you want to stay passionate about the Word of God, have a balanced diet in the Word of God. Lastly, memorize the Word of God. Put the Word of God not only in your head, but equally in your heart. Put it in your heart. Chew it over. Get to the place where you love it. Yeah, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 40 verse 8, Lord, I delight to do your will because your word is hidden in my heart. So memorize the Word of God. Memorize a verse. If it need be, one a week will do. One a day would be great. Memorize a verse. Say it to yourself. Keep saying it until you love it, until it explodes on the inside of you. Boom. My last question today, somebody asked me, is why am I not passionate about worship? Well, probably because you're not worshiping that much. Let me give you two or three quick answers. Maybe you're not worshiping enough. Sometimes we've got to learn to worship in faith and push through the internal or external resistance that is upon us. Second answer I'd give is so often we get confused with worship by the peripherals of worship. We think worship is about being in a cool church with a light show and an amazing song and an amazing band. And you know, I would say learn to worship with no support structures, no scaffolding around you. Learn to worship without a band playing. Learn to worship when you're on your own walking in the streets. Because when you learn to worship that way, you will find it easier to worship when you're in the right setting. But if you need to be in the right setting to worship, you won't actually, you'll be finding joy in the externals. Wasn't that a cool song? If you've ever caught yourself thinking, oh, I've sang that song too many times, who cares? Can you imagine the angels of God, the seraphim and cherubim going around the throne saying, I've sang Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty too many times. You know, can't we get a new song from Bethel or Hillsong? No, they love doing it. So strip away the externals in worship and come back to that place where worship is all about Jesus. If you've lost the passion for worship, get back to simplicity in worship. And lastly, let me put it this way. Worship is actually not about you getting a feeling. Worship is not about what you feel. Worship, listen to my language carefully, is about you, like Mary of Bethany, pouring your heart out at the feet of Jesus. And it will the reaction will usually be a feeling. Imagine if Mary came to Jesus saying, this house smells bad. Why is there no smell of perfume in this house? There's no agreeable smell of perfume in this house. The smell of perfume was a result of Mary pouring that sacrifice of worship at the feet of Jesus. And so often we're looking for a feeling of satisfaction, joy, overflow in worship that is the result, not the root of worship. So learn to come and worship because He is worthy, not because you feel it. Learn to worship because He is good. learn to give God glory simply because He is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He will do. And as a result of that, you will begin to feel these things of worship, but the feeling should be the tail, not the head. Don't become like a dog chasing your tail. Learn to worship God without feeling, without anything other than, Lord, you are good. Yeah? Soul, I will worship the Lord. I will bless you because that's my choice. And I promise you, the feelings, the passion, the motivation will follow. Boom. I hope that helps you guys. Thanks for tracking with me this week. I encourage you to go back, look over those videos. As always, look at the links wherever you're watching this video. If you're on YouTube, do hit the subscribe button down there, and I'll be back with another series next week. Bye for now.